All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Round one of the Masters underway. Pretty much, I think, wrapping up. You got a few players still left on 17. Some disappointing news. Will Zalatoris did withdraw right before the tournament did start because of an injury. Victor Hovland, John Rahm, and Brooks Koepka are your day one leaders, all tied 7 under par. Cam Young, Jason Day, 5 under as well. Shane Lowry, Xander Schauffele, Adam Scott, Gary Woodland, Scottie Scheffler, Sam Bennett, the amateur, all 4 under. Sam Burns as well, 4 under. You get to some notable names as well. Justin Rose, Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth are 3 under. Keegan Bradley and JT, Justin Thomas along with Cam Smith, 2 under as well. Matt Fitzpatrick, 2 under. Patrick Reed, he is 1 under. Patrick Cantlay, 1 under. Hideki Matsuyama is 1 under as well. Phil Mickelson, I'm surprised he's 1 under. Lefty at that Masters dinner, I saw a photo of him. He wasn't looking good. And also, he looks so tired. And I know he's up there in age, I guess you could say, but with how he won and then what happened with him going to live, he looked absolutely exhausted. DJ Dustin Johnson is 1 under as well. And Rory McIlroy, who's going for the career Grand Slam, only one he has to still win is the Masters. He is even, shot a 72 today. So obviously the most notable name of them all, Tiger Woods, he is 2 over as well. Which, Hickey, this is going to sound weird to say, but with what we heard from Tiger earlier in the week on Tuesday, it did not sound like a very confident Tiger Woods. I would have expected him to be, and I know he knows Augusta like no other. No one knows the course better than him, regardless of what Rory McIlroy did say earlier in the week when we had that conversation with Alex Myers. 2 over for Tiger, I kind of take it because my expectations were extremely low for Tiger Woods heading into this tournament. I hope he does make the cut. We'll have to wait and see because the more Tiger, the better. But Bryson DeChambeau is 2 over as well. So here's what I'll say. You know what my biggest takeaway was? And I'm someone who I enjoy watching golf. I somewhat enjoy playing golf. It just depends how my rounds go. More times than not, it's horrible. Then you have one good hole and it's like, okay, you'll definitely go back. But I thought the coolest thing that I saw today, where I understand that this is a sport that a lot of times people only watch the majors. And even though I feel like there's sometimes, and Jordan Spieth 3 under, by the way, just wrapping up. But sometimes I feel like we know more about golfers than baseball players. And I think golf, with sponsorships and all that, they do a good job capturing the individual. And I know it is an individual sport, so it's easier probably to do than baseball. But you see baseball players more than golfers. And I feel like there's a lot more popular golfers than there are than baseball players. But the walk, I think it was down 14, where I know I saw Max Homa, and also I saw Rory McIlroy interview, AirPods in. I think they were talking to Andrew Catalan. I know for Max Homa, it was definitely Andrew Catalan. I was just watching the clip during the break. But I think that is important in a sport that sometimes the athletes look like robots and they're so serious. I think on a stage like this, put some AirPods in, and when you're walking down 14 or whatever it is on the first day of the tournament, and I think Homa even joked like, oh, it's good I got a birdie, you know, before I talk to you or something like that, because you could, and maybe be more entertaining, get a golfer in a bad mood. Usually I don't like those interviews during a game or during a round. Like in the NBA, I always think it's stupid when they interview the coaches, because the coaches give you nothing in game, or like before a national championship in college football, they're interviewing like Nick Saban or Kirby Smart or whatever the matchup is. But I thought today, the quick little stroll as you're walking down, I guess it was right off your tee shot, I thought was good for the sport of golf today. I don't know how often they usually do that, but I watch, you know, a few golf events throughout the year, but seeing that, the only other time I've seen that was during those Thanksgiving, you know, Fugazi kind of events where it's like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, or Tom Brady and Peyton Manning with whoever the golfers they pick, but that's a little bit different. Yeah, the match.
Thank you. Just a staged money grab for ratings, for sure. Yeah, it's cool. I'm kind of shocked, honestly, they allow even AirPods on the course with how strict they are with technology. No phones allowed on the course.
Well, those are for the patrons, okay?
I'm glad if there's one course that would not bend the rules for anyone, it would be Augusta, it would be the Masters, but... You're right. It's cool to see them in the heat of the battle, be able to do interviews, kind of talk, give a little insight into what they're thinking. Because we watch, a lot of the names are household names. You never know outside of watching on the golf course, for the most part, what they're like, even what they're thinking on the course. It's cool.
And also, how popular was that Netflix documentary, too?
Full Swing. Very cool.
Coming off that as well, you get a little more personality, showcase the golfers. Very good. So that was actually my biggest takeaway from today. For you, what was your biggest takeaway through round one at Augusta?
Brooks Koepka, back. He is back. I'm a big Brooks fan. I think golf is better when he is playing really well. Top of the leaderboard right now. It sucks that he went to live and is irrelevant. But in these small majors that we get windows back into guys of that stature, it's nice to see him back and playing well.
Well, it's so weird when you say Brooks Koepka is back, because you're right. You don't hear from him unless it is a major championship. Now, just with the structure with him going over to live golf, or... If you paid attention to the Full Swing documentary where you got to see a lot of him. And for me, that's okay, I guess, if you only see him. Like, obviously, I like to see him other times throughout the year when you turn on a golf tournament, or if it's in your area and you go over to a PGA event. But that's not the case with him taking the money and running over to live. But for him, with how quickly he kind of captured all of our attentions, winning the U.S. Open twice and winning the PGA Championship twice from 2017 to 2019, that standard for him is, and he'll even say it, like, he only really cares about the majors. So that's so important. And after day one, and it's only one day, how many times do you see someone at the top of the leaderboard, and then the next day they're like 3-4 over, and they kind of shoot themselves in the foot in day number two? But to have Brooks Koepka with a share of the lead along with Jon Rahm and Victor Hovland, yeah, definitely good for the sport of golf. And that's going to be fascinating to see the reaction. Where a year ago, clearly it was more intense, and clearly there was stronger feelings about LIV Golf. And like a year later, it's kind of like, all right, they took the money. It's kind of irrelevant. And a guy like Brooks Koepka, who's a megastar, who's just judged by major championships, I don't think there would be all that much of a negative reaction by people that aren't the golf purists. The golf purists will probably be besides themselves if Brooks Koepka does win, and they would be really annoyed with it. But I think for people like us who will watch the four majors and then like two or three maybe other events throughout the year, if you have some betting interest on it, I would have no problem with Brooks Koepka winning. And I'm not thrilled that Brooks went to LIV Golf, but like a year later, it's just been so irrelevant where you don't hear about it. The ratings have been so bad and so comically low where it's like, okay, how the heck is that thing going to have success other than, oh yeah, it has unlimited funds because it's run by the Saudis.
And that's the thing why I never really understood. I get it's really the first major tournament where LIV is taken off, and now you have a clear separation of guys in LIV and guys in the PGA. Yeah. Because last year was kind of on the fly. Guys are leaving after some tournaments. So now it's this is the first tournament where everyone is back together. I never really understood, I guess, that the thought of there be this tense rivalry or like a lot of, beef brewing, just because I think if you're a guy on the PGA and you were upset like Rory McIlroy was last year, very outspoken, you see those guys went over to LIV, took the money, and you don't hear from them ever again. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
So I think like that irrelevancy almost makes your point of just, okay, you take the money, but now you don't hear from them ever again. It kind of lessens the animosity you would have towards them because they're out of sight, out of mind for, on the golf calendar, 80% of the year.
Well, I think also part of it is like time does heal all wounds. And at one point, like you get so worked up in the moment about something, and then like time goes on, it's like, okay, who gives a crap? But also, I think being at this tournament specifically, like even Rory McIlroy said, you put that aside because of what this tournament means and the people that run the tournament as well. But you're right. Like last year, you remember, even though we knew some guys and a lot of guys right from the start that just went over, but like Cam Smith, who ends up winning his first major last year, the Open Championship, and then, I guess if I recall, he was asked about it, and he was like, that's not the time and place to do so, and then like immediately afterwards, or very shortly afterwards, it was announced that he ended up joining LIV Golf. And that's going to, if you have a guy that's not on LIV Golf right now, you would think you win a major, someone's going to call you and offer you the bag. And it's just going to be, do you want to go? And if there is, and you know there's going to be an enormous amount of money, you know, you got to think twice about it. But I wonder now, a year later, if some people go, yeah, it's a, you get the money, but then you basically become irrelevant if you just want to stay in the PGA, even though the quality of life and the guaranteed money that you get is going to be off the charts and ridiculous. I wonder now, a year later, when they call you up and they offer you this amount of money, if it does change your decision at all. And for some, you're going to say, I'm going to take the money. I wouldn't have got this offer if I didn't win a major. And for others, they may go, I don't really know the long-term goal of LIV Golf and how much longer this is going to move forward into the future, but at least I know bare minimum that I'm going to get, like, you know, a ridiculous contract as well. So who really cares, I guess, the success or the future of LIV Golf too. That's going to be the fascinating part, though. Whenever LIV Golf goes under, and I don't know when that time is going to be, you know, how is that? And I know, right, there's that thought that they won't be welcome back and all that, but I wonder if that actually happens, and who knows when it folds, about how that entire transition does go about. Because some golfers say, if you go, you made your decision, we don't want you ever coming back.
And I get it. I get it's easy for the PGA to have that stance, but look.
Let's see when push comes to shove.
Right. And if it happens in, let's say, the next 2 or 3 years, if guys like Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson, they're still big names, you still bring eyeballs to tournaments.
Yeah.
You still want them on, you know, playing on your tour. Sure, you know, you want to embarrass them a little bit, or maybe there's a little animosity in the beginning, but at the end of the day, they bring eyeballs. That's what you want.
Meet me on the ninth green at 9 o'clock. That's what you got to do if you want to come on back. Turn on
the sprinklers. Have Shooter McGavin welcome him back. Welcome him back. Yeah. It's a LIV Golf welcome back party. The PGA's throwing it for you.
Who's the girl? I think, isn't her name Annie, that does all the football videos where she mocks being the 32 teams?
Yes, Annie Agar.
So she did a Masters welcome, and it was like, oh, I think it was to Patrick Reed, because no one likes Patrick Reed, but I may be wrong on that. Like, oh, Patrick, meet me on the ninth green at 9 o'clock. And you know who she was then playing the role of when she's also playing the role of Patrick Reed shows up?
Shooter McGavin?
No.
Tiger Woods?
Close. Tiger Woods' girlfriend.
Oh,
with geez. That whole issue that is going
that
on
now. He kicked
now.
Her out, bought her a one-way plane ticket?
Yeah, that he kicked her out or she wouldn't leave, something along those lines. So I thought that was very funny and a good job by Annie as well. All righty. I know we got into Solomon Wilcott's coming up in just a bit, but I want you to hear this. This is from yesterday. A Ravens PR rep tries to stop a Lamar Jackson question at an event. It was a press conference with Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh were speaking in their, I guess this is their pre-draft, one of their pre-draft availabilities with the draft under a month away.
With respect to this being about the draft and everything, just with the Lamar stuff that's going on.
Hey, guys.
Are you all looking at quarterbacks?
Alex, if you can, this is about the draft. Just move off the
about the draft. Are you looking at quarterbacks differently because of the situation's going on?
Yeah, you know, I don't think we really are.
Let me tell you. I know the Ravens are an organization that are well-respected around the league. And I'm pretty sure the PR guy that steps in, because their director of PR is Chad Steele, so I'm assuming that's Chad in the clip. And if it's not, I apologize. That's so minor league. And even if Harbaugh and DaCosta say that they don't want to answer any Lamar Jackson questions, don't these idiots realize that if you cut off a question, it makes it more of a story? And you can't even answer, or I know they went on to answer the question, but you can't even ask without maybe getting cut off and then being able to continue your question if you're going to look at quarterbacks differently with the Lamar Jackson situation. Hickey, for me, not that this closes the book on anything, but it's just another little kind of ingredient that shows when the cake is done from being made, it's just another ingredient that kind of tells me that the end product is going to be that Lamar Jackson is not going to be a Baltimore Raven come week one.
Oh, yeah, he's gone. What I don't get, though, is last week, I know it was not Eric DaCosta, it was John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh sat there for a half hour answering basically, for the most part, Lamar Jackson specific questions.
Well,
because
as
of
I
the
told
tweets.
You, as I told you last week, I don't think John Harbaugh was expecting him to be sitting down and then Lamar to tweet out his official trade request that was made a month ago. And I would venture to guess that John Harbaugh wasn't all that happy with how that played out. And I don't know if it was Harbaugh behind the scenes or DaCosta, but whoever it was, they clearly told Chad Steele, we're not answering any Lamar questions, so make that be known to the media.
You just sat there for a half hour answering questions. You're a grown adult.
Getting
answer
paid a
the
lot.
Question. And you know what? If you shut it down enough, no one will answer anymore. We're not talking about Lamar.
Yeah.
Ask another question. We're not talking about Lamar. People will give up after a while.
It's really stupid. Did you, by the way, see the announcers today for this Masters tournament? The AI announcers? Did you see that?
AI announcers?
Yeah. You didn't see that?
No.
Like you know when you watch a TikTok and you hear like that robot
yeah,
sounding voice?
Yeah.
So there was what is it called? Artificial intelligence, I think it was.
Yes. So AI, short for.
That they were doing announcing today for the golf. Like you were able to say the name, like the country of where the golfer was from and like where the ball landed all in real time.
Why would anyone watch that?
I don't know. It was kind of creepy if you ask me.
I like Shane Bacon better. That's who I watched today. Feature groups. Did a great job. I don't need an AI robot telling me Tiger Woods at the first tee.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, if something controversial happens, I need a real human to break it down. Not some robot, you know? Like, if someone is, in very non-Augusta-like fashion, streaking around the golf course, I need, right, like a Jim Nance or
Kevin Harlan.
Yeah,
the
Trevor Immelman.
Drunk.
Yeah,
he's running to the 30.
Exactly.
He's butt naked.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we're going to get replaced. Some AI, artificial intelligence.
Taking over sports talk radio.
Yeah. I remember when AI just meant Allen Iverson. Now, all of a sudden, it's some robot who will probably be saying, we're talking about practice. He was talking about practice. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Solomon Wilcox joins us next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Cincinnati Bengals.
All right, let's welcome in Solomon Wilcots, the former Bengal, now does that Believe in Bengals podcast with Adam Pac-Man Jones. You could always hear Solomon on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Solomon, how you been, my man?
Zach, doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, I'm doing fantastic. Can't complain. So I want to start you off, actually, on the offensive line, Solly. Lyle Collins, we know at the end of the season, had that ACL-MCL injury, and we know how much the Bengals invested into that offensive line last year. Then this offseason, out of nowhere, they land Orlando Brown Jr. What a move that was by the Bengals.
Yeah, it just shows you how much they care about Joe Burrow and taking care of the quarterback. And it's like doubling down on the efforts that they did last year. Remember, they gave up 7 sacks in the week 1 game against Pittsburgh. I think they gave up maybe 5 more. Week 2 against Dallas. And after that, they began to settle in, particularly after the that Halloween loss on the road at Cleveland. They go on a nice little win streak, and they did a good job of protecting Joe from that moment on. But they started to lose guys right around week 17 in the wild card game. And I think 3 weeks in a row they lost 3 starters on that offensive line. So they're doubling down in the offseason this year by landing Orlando Brown.
Now, we don't know when Lael Collins is going to be able to come back. They're going to move Jonah Williams over to the right side. What's going to happen with him? Because from what I read, right, he wants out of town now.
Well, yeah, he requested trade. But here's the deal. They did pick up his fifth-year option, so they have him this year. I think he's going to realize that the best bet for him before going out and trying to test the market will probably be a free agent at the end of 2023. Spend another year protecting Joe Burrow and see where it takes you. If you can go to leave a team that just goes to, what, three straight AFC title games if they make it again this year. That would bode for him if he hits the market. He's probably better off staying put. I think that would serve Jonah very well.
Simon Wilcott's here with us. We know Joe Burrow's sensational from what we've seen 3 years into the league. Contract talks are already beginning, right? All that conversation. What do you think the deal ends up being for Joe Burrow? And when do you think a deal could get done? You think it will get done this offseason, or are we going to have to wait a little bit?
No, I think it'll get done this offseason. I think the Bengals want to get it done. They'll probably do it as an extension. So he already does have a fourth year onto his rookie deal. That gives them, they do say, I'm hearing it's going to be probably a four-year deal at about $214 million. Or it could even be an eight-year deal at around $400 million, depending on if Joe and his representatives want to sign the short deal and hit the market again, or just be with the Bengals more long-term. Either way, it's going to be north of $50 million a year, and it'll probably reset the quarterback market.
Well, here's the big question. How much of that's going to be guaranteed? Is he going for one of those fully guaranteed deals?
Well, look, I couldn't tell you that, but I listen, if he asked for $200 million guaranteed, I don't think he'd be out of line. A lot of the teams aren't wanting to go close to the Deshaun Watson deal. And you and I both know whether it's this offseason or next year in the offseason, someone's going to eclipse that number for a guaranteed number. So I think some of the owners need to get over it. It's one of their own who signed the deal, and to act like that deal doesn't exist, that would reek of collusion.
Well, here's the big question. If Joe Burrow was available in a situation like Lamar Jackson was available right now, how many teams do you think would give him like a five-year deal for $230 million guaranteed?
He'd probably get more. You and I both know.
Yeah. Do you think this is it for Lamar? Because, man, this seems like a very discouraging offseason. If I was a Ravens fan, I would kind of expect him to be somewhere else after it's all said and done.
You know, I'm talking to my good friend Jameson Hensley, covering the Ravens for ESPN there. He's got his finger on the pulse of what's happening. And I asked him point blank. I said, look, 1 minute Lamar's asking for a trade. Another minute the general manager is saying they're willing to take a quarterback in the first round. Next thing I know, they're offering him $175 million up from $133 million. If the number hit $200 million guaranteed, do we have a deal? And he says, yeah. 1 minute looks like they're far apart. Another minute looks like they're still the best of friends. He said he could see this ending with Lamar walking back into the building and everyone hugging and kissing and picking up. So, I mean, it has huge swings. There's a lot of disparity, but I think they're more closely aligned than not.
Salman Wolcott's here with us. So we mentioned Burrow and Lamar inside that AFC North. What are kind of your expectations this year for Kenny Pickett and then also Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, and, you know, both those quarterbacks, I think, are we know Deshaun Watson can play. It's about how close and how quickly he can get back to being what he was at the end of 2020, which was some time ago, right? So it may take him a little bit of while to get there, but I think it's going to be very interesting in the meantime because if you look around them, the Cleveland Browns have a pretty good roster. They have one of the best running backs in the league in Nick Chubb. They have one of the best offensive lines. They just beefed up their wide receiving core, and they have two really good tight ends who can both run routes and are decent enough blockers. The defense, if you have an edge rusher like Myles Garrett and a shutdown corner like Denzel Ward and a bunch of other first-round picks in that secondary, you're going to win your share of games. It's going to be about how closely Deshaun Watson can play to like what we saw in 2020. As for the Steelers, they're looking for a quantum leap for Kenny Pickett. I think George Pickens at the wide receiver position is an untapped resource. Deontay Johnson continues to get better. And if that offensive line wakes up, we know that the defense can be plenty good. So it's going to be a real four-team race in the AFC North. I think the Bengals know that, and certainly the other teams expect that.
Do you feel like this is going to be Joe Mixon's last year with the Bengals and maybe look for the Bengals to draft a running back coming up next at the end of the month?
Well, it sure does look like it after losing Samaje Perine and the $12 million number next to Joe Mixon. You know, both he and Dalvin Cook, these are two teams that seem non-committal, right? If they release Joe Mixon, and I hope they don't, they release him after June 1st, they get a $12 million cap relief. When you think about the fact that they've got to give a ton of money to Joe Burrow, to T. Higgins, and then next year to Ja'Marr Chase, they're going to have to clear the deck somewhere. And most teams are doing that at the running back position. And I think Joe Mixon gives this team something special that a lot of other teams don't have, and that's power in the running game late in the season and into the playoffs. So I like to see them do everything they can to keep him.
Right, with that being said, how confident are you that he'll be on the roster come week one this year?
Not confident. I'm 50-50 this year and not very confident beyond 2023.
How early do you think they draft a running back? Could you see them drafting a running back in the first round this year?
Well, yeah, because they're, what, 28?
Yeah.
I mean, that's about where you would do it if it's Bijan Robinson. And just like what the Giants have seen, you get the fifth-year option on running backs that you don't plan to give them a second contract, but you would love to keep them on the fifth-year option. That means you better take them in the first round. If you're going to take them in the first round, you want to take them in the late 20s or in the 30s. The Bengals are in a right position to do that.
Sam Wilcox, we know they're going to get a deal done with Burrow. We know they're going to get a deal done eventually with Ja'Marr Chase. I know what Duke Tobin said about T. Higgins, but do you expect them to eventually get a deal done with T. Higgins?
Yes, because people need to know T. Higgins, he's first-round talent. More importantly, he's a first-round young man. I mean, this guy is he does everything the right way. And if you really take a look at how Zach Taylor and how the Duke Tobin, these guys that built this team, is really with character guys. And Joe Burrow is a character guy. He is the straw that stirs that drink. And he's built a real good family of players around him. And so I think Joe Burrow and what he has been able to do with T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, that's where you need to really check in on whether or not they're keeping guys or not, because if it's right for Joe Burrow, then it's right for the Bengals and it's right for everyone.
Solomon, this is a confident team, as they should be. We know they talked a lot going into that AFC Championship game and it didn't go their way. What do you think they learned from that AFC title game, and how do you kind of look back at what happened in that last game of the season for the Bengals?
I think they learned that we were right. Even though they drafted Ja'Marr Chase that year, many of us was right that blocking comes before touchdowns, not the other way around. If you can't protect the quarterback, you can't win. And as much as they hit it out of the park with Ja'Marr Chase, it still was the Achilles heel that cost them the opportunity to win a championship. And even in year number three, this past season, when it came down to it, Chris Jones wreaked havoc on backup players because of the lack of depth, because of the injuries on the offensive line. That's why they went out and spent money again on Orlando Brown. They know they've got to get it right on this offensive line, and only then can you pay attention to the luxury pieces of wide receivers, running backs, and you better have a good secondary, because Cooper Kupp went right down the field on Eli Apple like it was nobody's business. So I think that's what they really learned, to be honest with you.
We know how great this Bengals team is. We know for the foreseeable future it's Super Bowl or bust when you get to a Super Bowl, lose, and then you get to a title game right after that. Right now, I know we still have a draft to get to, Solomon. How many teams do you think are better than the Bengals on paper?
Yeah, you know, I always say these games are going to come down to the final seconds. They always do. I look at all those teams in the AFC that are bunched together. You give me the quarterback, and then I say, well, Burrow, he's the guy. In the final moments of a game, he's the guy. There's a couple other guys, and there's no doubt Pat Mahomes is that guy. I'm going to go with Josh Allen, but I think Burrow passed him up. So right now, I'm telling you, it's Chiefs, and it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Everybody else can get in line, even though you got to pay attention to the Chargers, because I think Herbert is that guy. They can put the right team around them.
And the right coach, too.
Well, you said it, not me, but that's part of the puzzle, right?
Solomon Wilcox, it's always great to catch up with you. Really do appreciate the time.
Zach, you're the best. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you. There he is, Solomon Wilcox, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We only have two teams left on the QB carousel. The Kansas City Chiefs and the LA Rams as well. All righty, we'll take a timeout. When we come on back, there is a radio host and a co-host right here on CBS Sports Radio. You may have heard of them. DA, David Amendola, and Mraz. They are calling for Hickey to be suspended And the power to issue the suspension is being left up to me. Will Hickey get suspended? We'll find out next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. So Hickey is kind of, and I wasn't aware that you were developing a shock jock, bad boy kind of reputation around here on CBS Sports Radio, but I've heard a lot on our network, DA kind of refer to you that way, where he does illustrate, and I'm aware of everything that has happened, but he does illustrate the point that you were drunk walking out of the Rose Bowl, putting up content, and he didn't love that. And then you're cursing on the air, which I was shocked. And the biggest offense, I think, from DA's mind is that, Hickey, you burped on the air this past weekend on your very popular overnight radio program, Friday into Saturday, 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, what I like to call the Hot Take Hickey Hour on CBS Sports Radio, but is referred to by the boring name of the Ryan Hickey Show. So anyway, let's play the infraction, and then we'll get to the claim and the reasoning by DA and Mraz why they want you suspended. So here is the burp. This was on Saturday morning at what, about 5:10? Speak for yourself. Was it like 5:10 a.m. Eastern time, something along those lines?
I got to listen to what the topic was. I forget, honestly, but then I could tell you the time.
Well, it was the take that DA accused you of stealing, that FAU could be the next Gonzaga.
Yeah, so that was like probably 5:05 a.m.
Okay, so you're waking up 5:05 a.m. Eastern time Saturday morning, and you hear this on CBS Sports Radio.
You could start to build a path towards becoming the Gonzaga of the East Coast. Dominant program that plays in a smaller conference. Sorry about that. I think it just went over there. My apologies. That was a burp that slipped out. My bad. But FAU can become the dominant program in a smaller conference, just like Gonzaga has become in the WCC and in the West Coast.
Now, before we get to the claim by DA and Mraz wanting you suspended and giving their reasoning, I just want to have you make kind of like an opening statement only about the belch itself. Were you trying to press the off button? Were you trying to press the cough button? Why didn't you dump it? Give me your take on the belch heard around the world on CBS Sports Radio.
I felt it coming. I could have sworn, now, again, not to make excuses, just to state facts, this was on probably hour 20 of being awake in a row. I thought I hit the off button. So in my mind, boom, the microphone is off. I let it out. Okay, a second to regroup, and now back into the point. And after I let the burp out, I look down, and the red light is still on, meaning the microphone is still on. So I did not, my either finger slipped, or did not hit the button hard enough, did not turn my mic off. That is why I went over the air. But my full intent was to have that be off the air, not have the listener listen to me burping, that's for sure. And unfortunately, just whether it's a mental error, a physical error, both, that snafu happened.
And here's the one part where I just, as I have to ask as the judge here, I'm just surprised a little bit with the inconsistency in the story from a few days ago, because didn't you claim that you were basically like Chuck Knoblauch, where you were having the yips? Because you drink a lot of water during the show. Whenever you do that, you start to burp on the air. So can you just clarify that? Do you still think you have the yips?
Well, if it's the yips, but that's what you said. I drink a lot of water, and you know, during the show, because my voice is talking for 4 hours. So yeah.
So you're backing off the yips?
No, I do burp a lot, yeah, during the show, but most 99% of it's off the air.
Okay. Gotcha. It's a little cloudy right there. From what you said earlier in the week until now, I'm just going to say. All righty, now let's get Mraz and DA. This is on the PGP that they do, where they want you suspended and they state their case.
I suspended you for multiple weeks on the PGP for burping. Should Gelb suspend Hickey?
Whew. I think he should.
You do.
I think he should look. I think the precedent's been set here at CBS Sports Radio. Look, you got to learn that that's not okay. And simply saying, I didn't mean it, is not okay. Look, I didn't, well, I guess I did mean it when I burped, but I got taught a valuable lesson. I think all can admit I'm a much more mature human being than I was at burp time. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's time Hickey, who's getting a lot of accolades, gets reeled back a little bit. A little suspension. No mic on the Zach Gelb Show for a week. That'll teach you a lesson.
And that's a quick way to teach somebody.
Yeah. They can't, they have to sit and stew in their own thoughts and realize how punished they were. Look, you may hate the punishment, what's happened to you in real time, but ultimately it's for the better for you.
Any response to those claims by D.A. Mraz?
Yeah, a few things. Number one, this didn't happen on your show. So why, if it's from my own show, like, which I would totally disagree with, but that'd be one thing where the infraction was committed. Why is now a punishment supposed to be levied out on a different show, we'll just call it platform, that had nothing to do with the previous infraction?
Two reasons. Number one, you now have a history of things that they were talking about. We can't play the entire clip where you have cursed, you have posted a video, drunk out of your mind, ranted and raving about Penn State, and now you have the belching incident. So that's one side of it, I guess, from their reasoning. The other, I'm kind of like responsible for you in some way, where if something happens with Hickey, you're associated with the Zach Gelb Show, even if it is part of your responsibilities, still with the network away from the show, you practically do represent the show at all times. So that's what I would think the line of thinking is there. But here's the one thing that I'll say. Should you be suspended because of the fact that you, by mistake, belched on the air, just because Mraz belched on a previous PGP? Like, I think maybe we could call into question if that original Mraz suspension, even though he agrees with it, was fair in the first place. Now, to be fair, I asked for the evidence. I was never provided the evidence of Mraz belching on the PGP, so I'm not aware of it. I guess it's past the statute of limitations. But I do wonder what your thoughts are, if you think it's even fair that a radio host or producer should be suspended for belching on the air.
I am someone who is a big believer in intent. Did you mean to do something or not? Sean just admitted he purposely burped on the air. He needed a lesson learned because he thought in his mind when he burped, that is the right thing to do. I've told you multiple times, it was an accident. I did not intend for this to get out in the air. It was a physical mistake and or a mental mistake at 5 a.m. in the morning. I know it is not right to burp on the air. That is why it has not happened, especially on this show. It has not happened in previous shows outside of one small instance. So it's not like I need to be taught a lesson of that is not okay. That's not how we do radio here at CBS Sports Radio, burping on the air. I am well aware of that fact. Which is why it's never happened before.
The only thing that I just find a little unbelievable about your story is early in the week you said you're having the broadcasting yips, and that's why you were burping so much.
Well, what is, like, I don't, you say yips. What does that mean?
That's what you said earlier in the week.
I just burp a lot during the show because I drink water.
You said you've been drinking water.
Right.
And you've been having this problem. You've been burping nonstop. I've never witnessed that. When you're on this show where you do have pretty much an open microphone, I don't hear you belching a lot.
Well, I'm not drinking as much water because I'm not talking as much.
You talk a lot. You talk pretty much a decent amount on this show. So that's the only part of the story
also
that's a little bit weird to me.
30 seconds to a minute at a time here and there compared to the show I host. It's 15 minutes at a time, you know, for three times an hour.
I think you should just distance yourself from the whole, I've been burping a lot during the show. That doesn't make sense to me because you've never have burped on the air before.
Again, because I turn off my mic. And every time it happens, I just turn it off. Boom. It's not this big belch. It's just a little.
What's the big deal if you did even burp on the air? Like, I don't think it's that crazy.
I think it sounds unprofessional.
Okay. Do you see some of the things that go on in this network?
I just wouldn't, you know, go out of my way to do it. Again, I try. That's why I didn't dump it. I happened. I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing.
And finally, they want you to actually come to Bob's Bar. So play this clip. Go ahead.
We need Hickey at the Bob's Bar show on June the 16th.
We do.
Because he's become, he can't miss. Who knows what he's going to say next and how he's going to offend the listeners.
Maybe you do a shot. Everybody does a shot together with Hickey, and then we keep reciting no big deal after every shot, and then see who's the last one that can still say no big deal. How drunk could they get?
He's a shock jock. No big deal.
This has really become a rolling carnival, by the way, Bob's Bar. There's just going to be tables set up for everything you want to experience at CBS Sports Radio.
I do think it's an inconvenience for you because that show is going to be on a Friday. To do this show at 10 p.m., finish this show at 10 p.m. at night, then go to Bob's Bar, then come back for this show. But if you are willing to say that you're going to go, maybe I'll be lighter in my sentencing. So would you be willing to go to Bob's Bar on that show in June? Just wondering.
Well, I mean, if I'm drinking, I will not be working. I tell you that right now. They want me to take a shot. I'm not taking shots.
Well, you could say no and be professional.
At 8 a.m. in the morning and then trying to work a shift at night. I probably have to turn it down. I have a very busy summer, but...
Oh, that's a bad answer. I have a very busy summer. I'm not going to suspend you, but I am going to monitor this situation further. And if you continue to do disgraceful things on CBS Sports Radio, then I may bring you back to court and say, okay, it's time for you to face a little punitive action.